One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hey, I'm Steph.
I'm Alex.
And this is Not Today.
And we're live.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. I'm a morning person, and it's the morning.
It is.
Hitting my stride.
Usually we record at night. Hey, you know what we forgot to talk about last week?
What did we forget to talk about?
We hit 200 episodes.
We did. And we did so silently.
This is 201. So that's kind of funny, but congratulations to
We're
us.
We're old now.
Yeah, exactly.
It feels like a birthday.
It kind of is.
Podcast.
Yeah, we've been doing it, what, for like 4 years now?
Yeah.
Kind of crazy.
Coming up, if not...
Already passed? Yeah, it was like sometime around September, October, so yeah. But hey, 200.
That's a big one. That's so cool.
Thank you for being here through it. If you have, hey, I wonder who's OG and who's new. Either way, thank you for being here.
Yeah, I mean, the true OGs, remember, we got like 40 listeners for like a year and a half.
Well, what are you going to do?
No, I know. So shout out to those people.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just funny.
It is.
To see where we are now. It's really cool.
It is.
And I'm very thankful.
Ditto. In the spirit of announcements, why don't we just drop that we have a bunch of bonus episodes, 32 in fact, over on Patreon that you can go listen to. They are just like these ones, but they're even more exciting because our patrons vote on the stories they want to hear. You can hear those over at patreon.com/nottodaypodcast. And there's a bunch of other bonus little perks that you get over there. So, hey, fun. And we have a new merch shop. You can find the link to that in our Instagram bio. And we have a super special Halloween design that's coming out really soon. It is still in the works currently, and I will let you know when it comes out officially. But just something to be excited about. And we have some really cool new designs with, like, sharks and climbers and a bear in the woods. Like, some cool stuff going on. So, check that out as well.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. The art turned out awesome, and we did just get the merch, and I love it.
I do, too. Yeah, it's really great, and the sweatshirt is really soft, which I appreciate.
It's gotta be.
And I'm really excited that we have magnets now, because as I have, I'm sure, mentioned at some point that I'm collecting magnets now, so now I have podcast magnets, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah. Do we have stickers?
We do. We have stickers.
Put on your laptop? Are you nuts?
Are you crazy?
Do you have a laptop? Put it on there.
Do you have a water bottle? I know that Stanley you're holding over there is a little naked.
Slap it on there.
Needs a little something on there. Come on.
Now, I have one more question that's very important. Those 32 episodes that are on Patreon, do they have ads?
No, they don't. Ad free.
Oh my God.
And our regular episodes are ad free, and you get them a whole day early.
Are you insane? For how much?
$5.
This is the cheesiest sales pitch, but I had to do it, okay?
I was like, come on.
Come on, Alex, this is too much. All right, I'll stop, but I know. It's a good deal.
Thank you. Okay, great. Anyway, that's all the announcements we had to make at the top that we forgot to do last time. So here we are, episode 201. Why don't we jump right in?
Let's jump in.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
So we're headed to Hornby Island today in British Columbia. It's right off the coast of Vancouver, I believe. It's like the western side of Canada.
All right, word. A little BC action.
Yeah.
This is like their Alaska.
It really is. It's not far. So it's like kind of above Seattle, around there. So it was October of 2009, and 26-year-old Jordan Nicurity had a passion for the outdoors.
As one does.
Yeah. After finishing his degree, he worked on organic farms all over Western Canada before moving to the tiny community of Hornby off the country's North Pacific coast. Jordan really loved it there. It's full of sandy beaches, lush forests, and starry skies, and there is such a strong sense of community. Everyone cared about everyone, and if anyone needed help, you would have it. On the official HornbyIsland.com, it said, "Many of us came for a visit and stayed for life. We care deeply for our island and people, treading lightly on the land, conserving water, and treating others with kindness and respect."
Sounds lovely.
Yeah, sounds pretty sweet over there on Hornby Island. Jordan really liked that there were some really great people there, but at the same time, there aren't many people there. So it's really quality over quantity. And on top of that, there are so many amazing hikes. There are so many sea cliffs on the coast that are fun to explore and sandstone formations that are very unique. At the time, Jordan ran a small gardening business, but he took every chance he could to go on a hike. And that day, Jordan decided to sneak away to take a hike at a remote beach on the island's easternmost tip. His plan was to bring his camera and snap some photos of the landscape before going back home where he lived on his own. If everything went to plan, he should be done by lunchtime. It was a sunny day, but it was the end of October, so it was going to be a little bit chilly. So he threw an extra wool sweater in his backpack, made himself a thermos of tea, threw that in there as well, and he was off. Instead of following a set trail, Jordan decided to go bushwhacking. He had seen a goat path that piqued his interest. So he was...
A goat path?
Yeah, he was following a goat path, apparently.
My interest is piqued.
Well, hey, you and Jordan could go out there and... try not to die.
Try not to...
Okay.
Just like luring the bears in.
Sure. He had to scramble over some logs and things in the way, but it was all stuff he enjoyed doing. 30 minutes later, Jordan reached the coast. The drop down, because he was kind of on the side of a cliff, was 10 meters or about 33 feet below the famously inaccessible Mushroom Beach. The way down to the beach is very steep and kind of treacherous. It's like vertical at some points, which tends to keep most people away, which means that the area is mostly secluded. There is a rope that somebody tied at the base of a tree near the top to help hikers get down and then back up. But that's really the only way to access this beach is through this rope that's tied to a tree.
Right, and who knows how old it is.
Exactly. So there's one section of steep hill that is nearly vertical, like I said, that you definitely need that rope if you want to get down or back up. And even with the rope, the climb is very tricky. So that's what Jordan did. He came there to do that. So he held onto the rope and he started making his way down. Jordan did make it down and was really enjoying his time down there. Hornby's vacation season had ended months ago, and so he had the whole place to himself. The only sign of life on the beach was a makeshift wooden shelter. It was kind of like a teepee made out of driftwood. And so Jordan really liked it, and he took a few photos of it since he thought it was so cool. So he plopped down on the beach and propped himself up on the side of this wooden structure to sit for a few minutes and enjoy the sound of the waves. As he sat, he pulled out a 1970s National Geographic that he had gotten from the free store on the island, and he spent the next hour sitting there and reading. The breeze was nice and warm, the tide was out, but he could still hear the waves crashing, and he enjoyed his tea. It was about as peaceful of a day as he could have imagined. What could possibly... go
I know, so we're talking about it, so.
After his break, Jordan got up and set off in search for some landscape that he wanted to photograph. He had really gotten into photography in the past couple of years. He had at one point been a writer for a newspaper, and the photographer there had taught him a few things about photography, which was when he fell in love with it. And this was the perfect place for it. There was so much unique stuff to capture on Hornby Island, so he was having a fantastic day. Jordan headed north in search of the sandstone rock formations the beach is famous for, And that was kind of his mission for the day, to take some pictures of the sandstone. But after exhausting all options at the ground level, he started looking for a higher vantage point. The cliff wall he was taking pictures of continued all the way around the island, but he spotted a ledge about halfway up the cliff that looked like it would be quite a nice perch to get some good pictures of Vancouver Island on the horizon. So he decided he should leave his camera on the ground and see if he could even get up to that ledge, because there wasn't a clear path and it did look pretty treacherous. His camera bag was pretty big and heavy, so he didn't want to lug it up there if he wasn't going to be able to do it at all. So he left his bag on a rock and started to make his way toward the cliff to try to figure out a way up. As he walked around the area, he wondered how he was even going to get up there. Jordan was the kind of person who enjoyed climbing trees and scrambling over boulders, so he wasn't backing out of a challenge, and even though he couldn't see a clear path, he was pretty determined. The way up was even pretty easy for him. He wasn't having any trouble finding any handholds or footholds, but the higher he climbed, the steeper the cliff became. He made his way up to a really steep portion of the cliff face, and by that point, it was basically vertical. Also, keep in mind, he is just a guy. He has no ropes. He's got nothing else. Just Jordan.
Do they call it free climbing?
Yeah, I think.
He's free climbing a vertical cliff.
Correct.
And he's how many meters up?
Well, the whole cliff was like 10 meters up, which is like 30-something feet.
Yeah, no.
And the ground below you is straight up jagged rock. Like, there's nothing to cushion your fall.
Well, couldn't be me, but sounds like he has experience with climbing.
Yes, and also he is an adventurer, if nothing else. So once he had made it up a substantial height and was close to the ledge, he faced another issue. He would have to get around this big bulge in the rock. He was about at the height where the ledge was, but now he would have to go sideways to get to the ledge. But there was this like land bulge in the way. Does that make sense?
Land bulge?
Yeah, so he's like on the rocks. And then to the left, however many feet, is the ledge. But in between where he is and the ledge, there's like, I really don't want to say land pimple, but like, it's just like...
Oh, the land is popping out.
Yes, the land
is... blocking his path.
Correct. So you understood land pimple.
Yes.
Great. A big old land pimple. And so he has to get over that. Sorry, it's kind of gross. He has to get over that to get to the ledge.
The land bulge makes more sense now.
Okay, great. At that point, he contemplated giving up his climb because he didn't really see a good way around it. And he also knew that if he slipped from that height, it could be fatal. But at the same time, he really wanted that shot. So he reached around the bulge to shift his weight and make his way around it. But as soon as he put his fingers into what he thought would be a good handhold, a rock came loose and immediately he lost his balance. For a moment, he hung there, trying to regain his balance, since his feet were still planted on the rock. But after what seemed like an eternity of kind of flailing, he saw the rock that he had grabbed fall to the ground and was able to count a 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi before the rock hit the ground below, meaning it was a very long way down. And he knew he was going down after it because he could not regain his balance. He got the feeling in the pit of his stomach like he was going over a hump on a big roller coaster, but this was obviously much worse considering he wasn't strapped to anything and he was going down. You like my storytelling?
Obviously, this was much worse.
But it was the feeling, you know, when you have the pit in your stomach,
sure.
The drop in the roller coaster.
But, yeah, except like the fear of death was so real.
Yeah, except you're falling onto jagged boulders below.
Yeah.
Yeah, not great. As he fell, time seemed to slow and the adrenaline instantly kicked in, and he knew that this fall wasn't going to result in something minor like a twisted ankle. He had enough time as he fell to think that he would have to be sponged off the cliffs.
Oh, God.
It didn't take long for gravity to speed back up again, and suddenly Jordan had hit the bottom. He lay there for a few moments without moving because he had no idea how much injury he had sustained. He lay there, staring up at the blue sky above him and where he had just been on the ledge, and he could feel that there had been a really big impact. His head was spinning and it hurt, but he truly couldn't believe he was still alive. He was so shocked by that he was more happy than he was scared, since the fall was over and his brain was still in his head. After the initial shock that he was still alive had worn off, the reality set in, and Jordan knew there was no way he made it out of that fall with no serious injury. He would just have to figure out how bad it was. The first thing he did was touch his head. He figured he must have hit it pretty hard, but thankfully nothing felt broken. He was enjoying any small victory he could. But then the fear set in that he had broken his back and was paralyzed. He knew he had to try to wiggle his toes, but for a good 5 minutes, he lay there, terrified, that if he tried, he wouldn't be able to. But after that 5 minutes, he finally worked up the courage. He lifted his head to look down and was ecstatic to find out that he could still move his toes. He felt like since he was still alive and wasn't paralyzed, anything else couldn't be that bad. Because those would be the worst things. So beyond those two major things, he had to figure out what was actually wrong with him, so he started by trying to roll over onto his side. But as he moved, he finally felt the searing pain shoot through his body and was forced to lay back down flat. As he had tried to move, he could feel the bones grating against each other, and he immediately knew that something was very broken.
Oh, God.
When Jordan was describing this moment, he said, quote, I don't know if I heard is the right word. You sort of feel it more. A crunch.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, where?
In his, like, hips area.
Oh, God.
His pelvis. He lay there in agony. He was sweating from the pain and the shock, but he reached down to his hip and felt the side of his leg. And where there was once smooth bone, there was now a couple of jagged pieces grinding into each other and was pushing against his skin. He could literally feel the bone.
No, thank you.
The fall had completely shattered Jordan's pelvis. It was a horrific and excruciating injury that basically separated his right leg from the rest of his body.
Oh my God.
I'm so sorry.
This is so visceral.
It's really bad.
Wow.
So obviously standing was completely out of the question, but he once again tried to roll, and this time all the way to his stomach so that he could at least crawl in some capacity.
Wait, is his other leg okay or also shattered?
Well, his other leg doesn't feel great, but it's still like connected to his body. The most of the break was on the right side of his pelvis. So his legs were like mostly unusable, but his right leg was definitely not usable.
Gotcha.
So when I say crawl, I mean more so like drag, like pull, you know?
Mm.
The pain as he rolled was unbelievable. He realized just how terrible of a situation he was in, and he left his cell phone in his van and he lived alone. So nobody would know he was missing for at least a few days. And on top of that, like I mentioned earlier, it was the off season for tourism on the beach, so there would most likely be no visitors. He was completely on his own, and he had left his backpack a ways away while he was scoping out a way to get up the ledge, so he had nothing but the clothes on his back. His first priority was to find some kind of warmth before night fell, and the chill of the North Pacific night set in. He immediately thought of the beach when he first arrived and the driftwood structure he had taken pictures of. His plan was to somehow get back there and have a nice cozy bonfire. But he had to break down his plan into small, manageable chunks because if he thought about everything he'd have to accomplish all at once, his head would spin. His first objective was to crawl the 100 yards back to where he left his bag. If he could get there, he would at least have his extra wool sweater that he packed and the last gulp of tea that he left in the bottom of his thermos. So he had managed to get himself onto his stomach, which was a very small victory, but at least it was some movement in the right direction. But he was in absolute agony. He started to pull himself forward with his arms over the rocks that he was on, but as soon as he tried, he would get overwhelming pain and his body would refuse to work. The 100 yards to his bag felt more like 100 miles, because with every slight movement, his bones would grind against each other, tearing the flesh, muscle, and nerves.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
I truly
could not.
Like,
how do you not pass out?
I don't know. I don't even know how that level of pain would feel. Like, I have no concept of understanding what a broken pelvis would feel like, but I can understand that it's really bad.
Yeah.
Because I've broken many bones in my day. Like, I was always the kid that had a cast. I was just jumping off of shit. I was crazy. But...
I was crazy back then.
But no, for real, I've broken quite a few bones. And those were painful. Like, I remember it being painful, but like, I can't really imagine bone grinding against each other and like tearing at muscle. God. I'm really sorry if this is too visceral.
Yeah,
and
this
like...
is a little too much for me.
Okay, I'm really sorry. God.
I mean, I'm just reminded of like when I dislocated my shoulder, and every time I think about it, I just like want to curl up like a potato chip into my own body.
I understand.
So the point being, it's very painful.
Yes.
And it's very hard for him.
Yes, that's...
He has got a long way to go.
Correct. Yeah, a very long way to go. By 3:40 p.m., it had been 2 hours since Jordan fell, but he had only managed to move a very short distance. He remembered watching old movies where someone would be in some kind of discomfort or extreme pain, and they would bite down on like a bullet or a towel or a strap. So he thought he'd try to bite down on his belt. So he pulled his belt out of his pants and he started biting down on this belt. And that did take his mind off of the pain a little bit, but he put some really deep indentations into this belt with his teeth. Like, that's how hard he was biting on the belt.
Oh, yeah.
As he inched forward, he was constantly faced with a new challenge. The terrain was extremely unforgiving. He was on a bunch of massive boulders. Like, this was not solid ground. This would be difficult enough if he was pulling himself on like flat ground, but he was pulling himself up and over boulders.
Oh.
And like down from boulders and like jagged rocks. Like, this is the worst place.
He had to like fall again.
Right.
On like, his broken legs.
At some point, yeah. This is the worst place that you can break your pelvis, as if there's a good place to break your pelvis. But like,
dude,
this is by far one of the worst,
yeah.
I'd say. Some of the boulders were the size of cars. Some of them were the size of a Lazy Boy recliner. And there were some even the size of a one-bedroom apartment. So there were some really...
A one-bedroom apartment?
According to Jordan, yes. This is his words. There's some really massive boulders, is the point.
Oh, yeah. But we're talking like a New York one-bedroom, right?
Well, he's from British Columbia, so I'm assuming a Vancouver apartment. I don't know.
It's massive.
Before the fall, Jordan had no issue climbing on and over these big rocks, but now that he was on his stomach and pulling himself along the uneven, hard terrain, it made things extremely difficult. He was only about a foot and a half above the ground, so he couldn't really see what was beyond the next boulder that blocked his path. He felt like the landscape was conspiring against him to keep him from getting out of there.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Jordan did manage to make steady yet painful progress, but as he continued, the terrain only got more difficult. There was a slot between two boulders that he couldn't get through, just pulling himself sideways, so he had to prop himself up on his arms and swing his legs underneath, which sounds awful with a broken pelvis, but he got stuck as he dangled his legs down off this boulder, and he couldn't move because he was in so much pain. So he couldn't go forward and he couldn't go back. And he was just kind of stuck there holding up his body weight with his arms because he couldn't get his right leg to follow the rest of his body. It was just dragging behind him. But he also knew he couldn't hold himself up forever like that. So unsure of what to do and frantically in pain, Jordan screamed for help, hoping that anyone would hear him, but knowing that nobody was out there with him. And even if they were, they probably wouldn't hear him thanks to the wind. After holding himself propped up like that for around 15 minutes, his arm strength started to get weaker, and he knew he had to do something, even if that meant risking further damage to his shattered pelvis. In the end, the only thing he could do was pitch forward and fall down onto his left shoulder, hoping that he would shelter his right side as much as possible. So he just threw himself.
How far does he have to go down?
I mean, not very far, but like with a shattered pelvis that you're...
Far.
Yeah, too far.
But like 3 feet or 10?
No, not 10. Probably closer to 3.
Oh, not going to feel good.
Yeah, still bad.
Oh, God.
There wasn't much he could do to help with the pain, and that was, of course, excruciating. It had taken him 2 hours of agony to travel around 40 meters, or yards, because that's about the same thing, and he wasn't even halfway to where he left his bag. He was totally exhausted and wanted to stop there, but he couldn't stay where he was for long because he soon made a pretty horrifying discovery. The tide was now coming in, and if he stayed where he was, he would drown in not much time at all. He hadn't noticed the tide coming in because, you know, he was a little preoccupied, but by that point, it was only a few meters away. And if he didn't make it above the high tide mark, he wouldn't have lasted 5 minutes. So he crawled with everything in him to get away from the waves, and they were crashing on the rocks only about 2.5 feet below where he was. So the tide is coming in pretty quickly. Since he was moving so slowly, he had quite a bit of time to think about the fact that he may die out there from this water if he didn't move fast enough. Can you imagine?
No, not really. I mean, any of it.
I know, but...
it's just like slow moving.
Yeah. It's like literally...
force of death.
Right. You're moving in slow motion and you're in the most pain of your life probably ever. And you have to get yourself away from the rising water. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Thankfully, he did manage to make it to higher ground in time. And after 4 hours of crawling, he finally made it just to his bag.
Well, one thing at a time, it's a big win. Also, this water's got to be freezing.
Yes, it's October.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In BC.
Yes, exactly. Cold water. So he had just dropped his bag, remember, to like go and scope out a way up to the ledge.
Yeah.
And now he just made it back to his bag. So the like walk that took him only a couple of minutes when he was able to walk is now 4 hours later, and he's now at his bag.
Damn.
His only reward for making it back to his bag was a mouthful of his hot tea that was left over in the thermos and his thick wool sweater, which wasn't nothing, but again, not great. The temperature was dropping quickly as it got darker, so to be able to rummage through his bag and pull out what could potentially save his life was a big win. That wool sweater was helpful, at the very least.
I mean, I imagine once you start sitting still, it's going to be a little more cold.
Yeah, and also, I don't think he was very...
clothed to begin with?
Well, sure. I was more so talking about, like, he didn't have anything to, like, make the wind less bad. You know, like, he wasn't up against a big rock. He was just kind of, like, on a boulder exposed. And so he had to just deal with the wind all night, which is not fun to do in the cold by the water.
Yeah. I guess find the teepee.
Well, that, yeah, he wanted to get there, but that was even farther from where he had traveled to get his bag.
And was just sticks anyway?
Yeah, it was just a bunch of driftwood.
Yeah.
But that was his next goal, was to get there, but he had to rest for the night because he knew he needed some kind of sleep if he wanted to have any energy at all to get there, but, you know.
How do you go to sleep with that much pain? Like, I can't go to sleep sometimes just because of things that are going on in my life. You know?
Yeah. He did manage to like doze off a couple times, but he would only be asleep for like 10 to 15 minutes before he would just like instinctively move his body and then the searing pain would wake him up.
Oh, God.
And then it was even worse because he wouldn't know where he was. Like, he would get scared by the fact that he was still outside. He's like, why am I not in my bed? Like, he was getting confused, you know? So, yeah, awful pain and confusion and having to relive that moment over and over again. And the bitch of it all was it was a beautiful night out. And had he not been in excruciating pain, he might have even enjoyed it. He knew whatever he had endured that day, it was only going to get worse because the next day he would have to travel much farther, which would be way more difficult. And all he could do was hunker down for the night and try to get whatever sleep his body allowed him. So bitterly cold, in pain, and having flashbacks, it was a very long night. Because also, I mean, keep in mind that those dreams where you feel like you're falling and then you wake up and you're like, oh, I wasn't actually falling. Like, that was scary. But like, he's having reoccurring nightmares of falling off of the cliff. And then he woke up and it was real. Like, bad.
That's, yeah. I mean, that's, and it's every, he's only falling asleep for like 15 minutes.
Right.
As a cherry on top.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. As the sun started to rise, Jordan was very happy because that meant he could stop trying to kill time just laying there and he would be able to move again. By that point, he wasn't expecting anyone to find him. He would just have to get himself out of there. His objective for that day was to get himself back to the pebble section of the beach where he first landed and saw the driftwood structure. His plan was to then use that wood to start a signal fire. But that portion of the beach was still nearly 400 yards away, which was around four times as far of a distance as he had traveled the day before, which had taken him 4 hours.
Is it as jagged or bouldery?
Yes.
Cool.
But on the bright side, that morning, Jordan had figured out that if he took his belt and made a loop with it and wrapped it around his right leg, he had a pretty good way to like pull his leg along with him.
Smart.
Yeah. So the strap would thankfully stop his right leg from pulling on his crushed pelvis as much as he moved, which allowed him to cover ground twice as fast with some less pain. Not much less pain, but some.
Well, it's a win.
Yes, it was a huge win for Jordan. It wasn't such a struggle to move, which definitely gave him some much needed hope that he would get out of there. But what Jordan didn't know was that on top of his crushed pelvis, he had also suffered some serious internal injuries in the fall. So with every hour that passed, his chances of survival were getting slimmer and slimmer. Even though he was moving slightly easier, it was still extremely difficult. The rocks he had to pull himself over were sandstone, so it was basically like pulling your body weight over sandpaper. It didn't take long before Jordan had scraped his fingertips off, past the nerves, and past the point where he could feel them at all. And that also meant that the rocks were destroying his legs as well. The sandstone had worn right through his pants and through most of his leg.
Oh my God. I didn't realize it was that abrasive.
Yeah. Because, I mean, in my head, when I'm picturing a boulder, I'm picturing like a big old smooth rock. I mean, sure, bumps in it, but like this was rough, like sandpaper type rock.
Yeah, and I was going to say, if he doesn't have internal bleeding, I'm going to be really surprised.
Oh, he does.
I mean, it can't be that bad, but...
It was.
Well, he's not dead yet.
Correct.
And he survived.
True.
So...
That is true. But... I mean, we'll talk about this later on when we get Jordan saved, when he, you know, saves himself. But the internal injuries he had could have very easily killed him in just a couple hours. So
yeah,
the fact that he did live through that is
lucky,
very lucky and like extraordinary, honestly. So he's in very bad shape is my point.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a cruel like extra thing that now you are losing your skin.
Yeah. Yeah, he had lost all of his fingertips to the point where he could not feel them because he had, like, pulled himself through the nerves. Like, the nerves were gone.
Ugh.
And as far as his legs went, he was pretty sure he had worn through the skin and the top muscle and some nerves in his leg as well. So he's just basically dragging, like, a trail of blood because his legs are just being torn up. But he had to keep going. Though every inch of progress he made meant more damage to his already shattered body. By 3 p.m. that day, it had been about 26 hours since the fall, and the sun was beating down on him. So now he had to add dehydration to his list of very real ways he could die in this scenario. And his tea was long gone, and he was tormented by the many pools of salt water that surrounded him as he crawled. There was so much water around him, but he couldn't drink any of it. After some time, Jordan came upon a shallow pool that had formed in the sandstone, and he had convinced himself that some of it had to be from rain. He knew most of it was from salt water, but he was so thirsty that he didn't care at that point, so he drank from the pool, hoping that the salt content would be small enough that it wouldn't hurt him, even though it was disgusting. But he was desperate.
Did he taste salt?
Yes.
I mean, that just makes you die quicker, right?
Yes, it would. It would dehydrate you quicker.
Ugh.
And also, it's like a stagnant pool of
water.
Water, yeah, so you don't know.
Double whammy.
Yeah, what bacteria could be in there.
But yeah, I get it.
And just to quite literally add salt to the wound, as he continued forward, he had no choice but to pull his body through these salty rock pools.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, which was torturous.
Oh my God.
Torturous for his now open wounds all over his hands and legs. But it was the quickest route. So he wasn't going to take any unnecessary journeys.
Wow.
Also, keep in mind that although he had managed to figure out the belt loop around his leg, he was still feeling his bones grinding on each other and was still in enormous amounts of pain, in case we forgot. So he knew that he was getting weaker as time went on, and things were on a downward spiral. His internal injuries were also getting worse. His head was throbbing, his vision blurred, and he was starting to get confused. But as he looked out at the waves, he spotted a kayaker. He couldn't believe his luck. He screamed at the top of his lungs, hoping that this person would hear him and spot him on the rocks. He tried waving his arms while screaming for help, but as he watched the kayaker, they didn't seem to get any closer or even farther away. And after a little while of shouting and waving, he realized that what he was seeing was actually just a rock out in the water.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so that was a massive blow to morale.
Devastating.
Yeah, not good. And even worse than that, he was only halfway back to the beach, and the weather suddenly took a turn for the worse.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not. Like, this, there couldn't be any more terrible things, but there will be. Just spoiler alert. Crazy.
It's becoming hard to think of new ones. What actually could go wrong from here?
More. I'll just keep going.
Okay.
So dark, angry storm clouds rolled in and it began pouring. And Jordan quickly became soaked and freezing. And he knew that with every raindrop that hit him, the wood on the beach that he had been so desperately trying to get to would definitely be too wet to make a signal fire with. But now he was desperate to reach the driftwood shelter because he was cold and wet. And although it was just a teepee that wasn't going to give him much shelter, it would at least be something. So by 7:40 that night, it had been about 30 hours since his fall, and Jordan had finally made it back to the Pebble Beach. It was, as he suspected, way too wet to start a fire, but at least he could rest for the night. And again, that wooden structure didn't do much for him, but compared to everything he had already been through, it felt like a massive win. He was like, it felt like the Ritz. Like, this was a huge win.
Yeah, for sure. To finally just get there.
Yeah.
You know, here's the other upside. You can drink the water.
What water?
The rain.
Oh, yeah. If you like, yeah, I wonder if he opened his thermos and like was trying to catch the rain.
Maybe, or open your mouth or drink it out of your wool jacket.
I guess. Yeah. It didn't mention anything about that, but that would have been a thought. But I actually don't know that he did that.
Yeah.
I think he was too much in pain and too exhausted.
Fair. But it's like, well, you won't die from dehydration, but now hypothermia is a problem.
Yeah, because there was no way for him to get dry. So all he could do was lay there in his wet clothes in as tight of a ball as he could manage to conserve whatever body heat he had. He knew the possibility of him dying out there from exposure was a very real possibility. And that was when he found out that drinking the water from those rock pools was, in fact, a mistake. So not only was he cold and wet and shivering, he was now also violently throwing up salt water.
Ew. Could you? I mean, you're just sitting there soaked, broken, and puking.
Yeah. And just to clarify, we're not laughing because it's funny. We're laughing because it's absolutely unbelievable and just like terrible. Like there couldn't be worse, a worse time.
I mean, it's like, it's just funny in such a horrible way. His luck.
Yeah. And also he does survive. So like we can at the very least know that at the end.
Right.
But yeah, I wrote in my notes, it was in the simplest of terms, a bad time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As it usually is here.
Right. In the freezing darkness, all Jordan could do was think about his parents and his brother Justin back in Saskatchewan. He wasn't thinking so much about him seeing them again. He was thinking about how crushed and sad he would be if the situation was flipped and his younger brother were somewhere out there and he was home in his bed. He knew his family would be frantic and devastated if something terrible happened, and he hated the thought of that. He said, I didn't really want to inflict that upon anyone, and I'd grown quite fond of breathing in and out.
That's a great line.
Yeah. He also knew that his family was used to him not contacting them for days, so they wouldn't be worried about him for quite some time still. By the time one of them would start being concerned about him, he may already be dead, considering the state he was in. So that brings us to day three. It had been about 40 hours since his fall, but the sun had finally risen once again. Jordan had completely given up on the thought that anyone would come down onto the beach to find him. He had to find the people, and if he had any chance of doing that, he was going to have to get up that cliff that he had climbed 2 days ago to reach the beach in the first place. It was literally his only way out. It was a struggle on the way down, even when he was fully fine. And climbing up the cliff without the use of his legs seemed like an impossible task, but he did not have any choice. He was at the very least going to have to try to climb out of there, or he would die. And he didn't need any other motivation with that being the case. So he started to crawl slowly once again, this time toward the cliff. Once he reached the bottom of the cliff, he looked up from where he was laying on his stomach, and he couldn't believe what he was going to have to do. Seeing the size of this extremely tall cliff, mostly vertical, was extremely daunting. He wasn't sure at that point if he would make it, but again, he knew he had to try. He faced a vertical 32-foot climb, and he'd have to rely completely on his arm strength to haul his body up the rope. So he counted to three, and he began pulling himself inch by inch once again, but this time it was worse. He said his hands were more hamburger than hands, and his legs were basically dead weight. Between his hands, his injuries, and his exhaustion, the odds were definitely against him. The progress was painfully slow, and he was painstakingly careful about what rock he used to hold on to, because he knew one wrong slip and he would die. He didn't know if his body could handle another fall. And as if it couldn't get any worse, right as he was about to reach the top, like he had literally made it almost all the way up the cliff, believe it or not, the rope that was tied to the tree came undone.
You gotta be fucking kidding me.
And it fell. So thankfully,
wow,
Jordan had half a second to reach and grab onto a big rock to somehow keep himself from falling with the rope. But it was a petrifying few seconds.
I can't even imagine. You're like, seriously, right now is the moment.
This is
at this point in time.
Yeah. Like, this is something out of a movie where you're like, that wouldn't happen in real life. You know, like after all of those things that went wrong, once the rope falls off the cliff, you're like, this is unbelievable. That would not happen.
Right.
But it did.
It did.
It did.
Yeah. The other thing is, and I'm not saying that Jordan's lying at all.
Absolutely not.
And if I was in a situation like this, I might make up a few details.
Well, that's just a you problem.
Right?
That's not on
Jordan. You
know
what I mean?
Jordan didn't make up shit.
I'm sure not, but I'm just like, you know, if there was like a few moments where I could be like stretching it a little bit.
Sure. You're like, and then I punched a bear.
Yeah. I was like, then the bear came up and like sniffed me and then it walked away.
Sure. Yeah. Makes complete sense. Well, Jordan didn't do that for the record.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless, unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapists provide specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
So he did manage to grab onto a rock, but keep in mind he is on a vertical cliff face, And his luck was about to run out because his arm muscles were giving out. I mean, think about how much he had to pull himself over the last couple of days. Like, talk about sore, weak. Like, how do you even have any strength left?
Yeah. Well, I mean, when it's life and death, it's kind of amazing how much people have.
That's true. Like, there was definitely adrenaline involved. Like, there had to be, but still.
Yeah. I mean, physically, your body can only do so much.
Yeah. And also his hands, he said, was more like hamburger meat than like actual hands. So it's not just the strength in his arms. It's also the fact that he's holding on with hands that he can't feel. He can't feel them.
Yeah.
His grip was becoming weaker and weaker, and his arms were like jelly. So it was becoming very apparent that something was going to happen pretty soon. And that was by far the scariest moment of Jordan's entire ordeal, dangling off the side of a cliff. But this moment was very do or die. So he had mustered up every last bit of strength he had in his body and used it to keep going. He couldn't feel his hands, and he couldn't get his fingers to flex or really get a good grip on anything, but he was only centimeters away from the top. He desperately clung to fists full of dirt and grass and rocks, anything he could to pull himself up until he finally managed to get onto more solid ground. He pulled himself up the last few inches of the vertical piece until he was able to flop himself down and lay on the ground at the top. That, of course, was the biggest victory yet, and he felt like he had gone through the worst of it. But with everything as broken and cut up as it was, and nearing complete exhaustion, Jordan was not out of the woods, literally and figuratively. He couldn't move a muscle for a good 10 minutes. All he could do was lay there. He had felt like he had just climbed Everest. It had been a full 48 hours since he fell, and he had been out there for 3 days. It had taken him 2 days to pull himself somewhere around half a mile before the cliff. And it was somewhere around 1:30 p.m. when Jordan finally started to move again. He had to pull himself through the woods in an attempt to get toward the main road, which was 3 times as far away as he had previously traveled. He was so dehydrated at that point, he was back to moving extremely slowly, even with the rope around his leg, or the belt, excuse me. Getting to the top of the cliff felt like such a major accomplishment, but at the same time, he was still in the same predicament. So, you know, he gets to the top and he's like, yes, I win. But then it's like, no, I don't win. I'm still shattered and have to pull myself through.
It is a win.
It is a win. It's the biggest one by far. Although he was physically closer to finding help, there was still no sign of it anywhere. He'd periodically call for help, even though there was no sign of anyone, but he was hoping that if he reached one of the hiking trails in the forest, he might encounter a hiker. But that was still a long shot because the weather wasn't very ideal for hiking, so he didn't really expect anyone to be out there. Because remember, the night before, it had stormed. It had poured, you know? He was so thirsty. Every cell in his body was dying for water, and the rain-soaked ground was freezing Jordan. After nearly 3 full days without water, the dew on the grass started looking very tasty. So he had resorted to crawling around and licking the grass for any kind of moisture. And an even better gig was finding a cobweb, because they would have around 20 to 30 water drops on it, so he was just licking the grass and eating cobwebs.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do, but...
Yeah.
I can't imagine being this thirsty and then just getting literal drops of water at a time.
Yeah, and small drops, like it's on blades of grass. He also said a couple of bugs managed to be in the wrong place at the wrong time and got eaten pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah.
So the toll the climb up the cliff had taken on his body was very apparent, but he knew he had to keep going. So instead of looking at the journey ahead of him as one long pull, he broke it down into sections. He would do 10 pulls and then give himself a rest, and then he would go as hard as he could. But he was very close to collapse. He pulled himself along the forest floor for more than 6 hours like that. 6 hours.
I mean, it's really 50 hours in now at this point. Mm-hmm. He's been pulling. I still can't believe that he got up the cliff.
I mean, I can't either. And the rope broke. Like, it wasn't
and
even...
And the rope broke. Like, at the end.
Yes. Yeah. If the rope broke at the beginning, he would have been toast.
Yeah.
No chance. Like, it's the rope breaking is obviously one of the worst things that could happen, but at least it broke where it did, even though it was so terrifying.
I know. It's hilariously tragic. It's hilariously tragic, but it did get him where he needed to be.
Yeah. As the light started to fade once again, Jordan clawed his way to a picnic table that he found. And on the picnic table, he found a shell that was sitting that had collected some rainwater. So he said, it was pretty much Christmas when I found that. Despite his injuries, Jordan had dragged himself nearly a mile and a half and up a sheer cliff. But he had exhausted all of his mental and physical reserves. He could feel his health was getting worse, and he had resigned himself to the idea that he most likely wouldn't be getting out of there since he couldn't move anymore. He had nothing left to do but to lay there underneath the picnic table and wait for death at the age of 26. He thought again of all the people he would never see again. And then morning came, once again, and somehow Jordan had survived the night. As dawn broke, he used the final bit of energy he had to pull himself out from the picnic table and continue moving, however slowly he could, forward. He was slowly dying of his injuries and also dehydration. His plan was to still get as close to where anyone would stumble upon him, but he was so close to death, the only thing he could think was to keep going. The temptation to curl up and stop was overwhelming, but he couldn't let himself stop. It took him around 2 hours to get 20 yards. Every few feet, he would pass out for a few minutes and then keep going. After those 2 hours, the physical reality had set in, and there was no more mind over matter. He was finally done. The distance he had between passing out was getting shorter and shorter, so there wasn't much else he could do. He was officially knocking on death's door. But as he lay there, he heard distant voices. He thought the sound was hikers on a nearby trail, so he tried to yell, "Help me, please," but his voice had gotten much quieter. Still, he knew it was his only chance at survival, so he tried anything he could to get their attention. But the voices seemed to fade away into the trees, and the weather was getting bad again, so it all felt like a very cruel joke. The despair he felt from getting so close to rescue was unbearable. Jordan started drifting in and out of consciousness, reality and dreams blending into each other, until finally the sound of the voices had returned, and this time they were only yards away. And he could actually see them now, but his yell for help was not much louder than his speaking voice, like he couldn't really muster a lot of sound. He watched as the hikers were getting further and further away, and with every step they took, they were taking his survival with them. Jordan again mustered all his strength and had to yell out for help. The final two people in the group he could see were only steps away from being out of his sight. The last lady in the group was wearing an orange rain jacket, and Jordan watched as she kind of cocked her head as if she heard something. And then she turned and started looking around and took a few steps back in Jordan's direction before she finally saw Jordan laying on the ground.
Whoa. What made her look back?
His calling out for help.
Oh. Okay.
It was just loud enough that she was like, "What?" And she turned around and looked around and then saw him.
Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah. And it was a group of like 10 people. Like, he caught the last person.
Yeah. Oh, and they could have easily just been distracted by conversation.
Yes. Very easily.
Group of 10 people.
Yep. And I'm sure the first 9 people were. Like, it was just the last lady who heard him.
Wow.
And so when Jordan saw this woman approaching him, he finally felt like it wasn't all up to him. He basically was like, "I am your problem now. you better save me. I saved myself and now it's your turn. Tag, you're it."
Tag, you're it.
Like, literally.
I mean, true.
It was beyond joy and relief. It was chance at life again. Jordan's stubborn refusal to give up is what saved his life. He said, "I came as close as you can get to dying." He also said, "You know, the second you give in and let yourself panic or whatever, you're as good as done. You're useless to yourself, so keep pulling and falling where you may. Hopefully you get yourself a few feet closer." And I was thinking about this, like, it's so impressive the amount of, like, willpower and strength he had to keep going, because I was thinking about this last night, like, we played pickleball for 40 minutes and I was ready to give up. Like, I was tired after that.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you're not about to die.
Right. It wasn't life or death. But still, like, that is an unbelievable amount of willpower. Because he was like, oh, yeah, the temptation of curling up and stopping on the forest floor was so strong.
Yeah. But, I mean, pickleball's hard, too.
I was just making a joke. I was just making a ha-ha funny. You know.
I know. But it's, I don't know. It's wild to me every time that there is a survival story like this where the distance that a person wills themselves to go
is just enough.
Is just enough.
Yeah.
And just right. Like, if he didn't keep crawling and passing out and then getting, like, coming back and just kept going, he wouldn't have gotten last feat that he needed to have them, have the last person hear him. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, this story is insane. Like, the rope broke at the end, you know, and he had to, the tide, the rain. Is
the broken pelvis.
The broken pelvis, you know, of course.
Just to name a few.
Everything together is overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right. He got himself just where he needed to be. And that is why he lived. So emergency medical help arrived and he was quickly taken to a hospital in Vancouver. He was dehydrated, suffering kidney failure and soft tissue injuries, and had a complex hip fracture. He was treated for a ruptured pancreas and internal bleeding, which were injuries that could have killed him within hours, like I said. But somehow he lived. After multiple surgeries, his pelvis was also fixed using 12-centimeter long titanium screws. And it had been broken in like 3 major places, but there were other like little breaks. He also needed major skin grafts to his legs and hands and had nerve damage in his foot. And I'm sure his hands as well. How could he not? But his recovery period was expected to be about 18 months, like according to articles that were written right after his survival. But as far as I know, Jordan made a full recovery and enjoys life at home with his family. He said, without a doubt, I'll have the outdoors as soon as I can get up and get motoring again. I'm sure I'll be back there for sure. So he's going back, and I'm sure he's already back.
Oh, of course he's going back.
Yeah. And he also said, which I really liked, quote, the only guarantee that we're given is that we will die. We can't pick when or how. The only thing we can affect is what we do with the time we're given. I see my life now as something that is not to be squandered, even in the smallest amount. And that's Jordan's story.
Amen. Amen, Jordan. I have to imagine that the first time you see your family after that is so beyond emotional.
Yeah. Yeah, because he said that he and his younger brother were like best friends. So
yeah,
I'm sure they were beyond happy that he was alive, but also had no idea that he was even in danger in the first place.
You have to go into the hospital and look at what is left of him.
I mean, he was all there, but like he just needed some stitching up and some surgery. Like he did it, you know?
I know. But you know, he was a bag of bones.
Yeah. By that point, not doing well. But yeah, imagine you're like one of the parents or the brother and your sibling or child doesn't contact you for a couple days at a time as normal. And on like the fourth day you haven't heard from them, you're like, I wonder how Jordan's doing. And then you get the call from the hospital being like, hey, so your son's knocking on death's door.
Yeah, I wonder how much they tell you in the call.
I don't know. Probably not much, but
right,
also...
because most of the time they don't want people to like...
panic. Yeah.
And then go crash their car.
Exactly. So probably just like, you need
so
to get here now.
Lack of information.
Yeah. Well, we don't
you
know.
Should probably get here now.
That's what like great, what they say, no?
I mean, yeah. I mean, what do you say? But yeah, I mean, it's just that experience has to be like lack of information. Then you find out how really bad it is.
Yeah.
But he's already kind of probably gotten back to stable by the time you get there.
Yeah. Yeah, I would assume. But hey, I don't know. That's his story. And he did amazing.
Yeah. I mean, what an amazing story of like human will.
Yeah.
How far did he make it in total? I think at one point you said 1.5 miles.
Yeah,
which on its own is so impressive, but it sounds like he went farther than that.
I think he went farther than 1.5 miles. I don't know how much, but...
with a broken pelvis.
Yeah.
And barely hands.
Mm-hmm.
This reminds me, do you remember was it Colleen Ballingy? Or am I mixing names? It was the ultra marathon runner who pretty much separated her pelvis from her back while she was trail running. And then she too had to like drag herself or
her dog was
there. And her dog saved her?
Yeah, her dog saved her life. Danelle Ballingy.
I got the last name right.
Yeah, you got the last name right, but not Colleen.
The letter D was coming to me, but I didn't.
I believe you
would have never pulled Danelle out of a hat.
I think you were thinking of Colleen Ballinger, which is very funny. But she's a YouTuber. That's a whole other thing.
We're just not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
But that episode was also, you know, just as visceral.
Yeah. She broke her pelvis. She was an ultra marathoner, like you said. I believe she was running in the Grand Canyon, if I'm not mistaken, something like that. And she, I believe, fell and shattered her pelvis. And then her dog had to go and find help for her.
Yeah. But she only survived because she was in such good shape.
Yeah.
And I have to imagine this is the same case for Jordan. Like, he's 26.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like he's outdoorsy.
Sure. Yeah. You know, that definitely helps.
Working out on the farm.
Sure. But yeah, that's his story. And I can't imagine a broken pelvis. I hope I never have to know the reality of that, because, oh my God, that sounds horrible. I've broken my tailbone, which is nothing compared to the pelvis, but still bad.
Yeah, not great.
Not fun.
Well, we wish him well, and lots of farming and hiking.
And safety.
And safety. I bet he's not free climbing anymore.
Well, who knows?
Or we hope.
Or if he is, he's got his cell phone and his friends know where he is, and, you know.
I don't know, man. Even that. Although, but like the message he has is, you know, is such a common theme of survivors. It's like, every moment is precious. I wonder how he takes that as like, every moment is precious. I need to climb up this cliff again.
I don't know. But yeah. I don't know. I hope he's doing well.
We wish him nothing but the best.
Always.
And tell us your good thing this week.
Okay. My good thing is that my sister's visiting this weekend, and she has not ever visited before. So I'm excited. I mean, you know, life gets in the way and things happen, but this time it's a win for the girls. We're going to hang out, and her husband's coming, and we're going to all hang out, the four of us. It's going to be great. I'm really excited. We got a bunch of fun things planned. And yeah,
I'm very excited to show them around. And we have a full itinerary.
We do, as per usual.
Yeah, I love being a tour guide.
Hell yeah. What's your good thing?
Can I talk about gardening?
Oh, sure.
Am I allowed to talk about gardening right now?
Go ahead.
Okay. My good thing is that my garden is dying. This is not the good thing.
Well, it's fall.
But yeah, it's fall. It's the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But what that does mean is that it's harvest time. And I have grown beets, and I'm harvesting beets. And it's actually really cool because I got like 8 of them, and some of them are like massive.
Yeah,
like
they look
big. Like the
size
of a softball.
Mm-hmm.
And I am, in a very nerdy way, excited to harvest them.
You're like Dwight Schrute, aren't you? Isn't he a beet farmer? Or his cousin or
beets,
something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess that's my good thing. It's harvest season.
You got a bunch of beets, huh?
I got beets. We're going to have a beet party. Also, they stain everything.
Well, yeah,
it's
they're beets.
It's amazing how, what would you say, colored they are?
Pink, yeah. Pink,
or like how much pigment
sure.
that they contain.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but we'll keep them away from you because they are your nemesis.
Okay.
They really just...
To make a very long story
don't
short,
do well with you.
I enjoy eating beets. I ate one too many beets and it hurt.
Well,
and
you can't. Apparently, you can only eat one per day.
Beware of the beet is all I'll
beware
say.
Beware of the beet.
It's spooky season, and sometimes you have to beware of the beets because they can give you gout and kidney failure. If
wait,
you're...
No. Can I be a beet for Halloween?
That's
can
so scary.
Can I be a beet?
That's one of the scariest things you could be. Oh my God. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. If you would like to get access to those bonus episodes, head over to Patreon at patreon.com/nottodaypodcast. Write me a story. Let me know something that's happened to you, whether it be a person being creepy or a ghost in your house, and I might read it on an upcoming listener's episode. Send it to notodaypodcast@gmail.com. We have pictures we post of all the stories we talk about over on Instagram at nottoday_podcast. You can also find the link to our merch shop in our Instagram bio. We have a TikTok that is Not Today Podcast and a Twitter that is Not Today Podcast, but the TNN Podcast is a 3.
Because that makes sense.
And just keep breathing.
Yeah.
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 One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.